Nice. Soul on ice. I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, whenever or wherever you are listening. Thank you for joining. You are now rocking with the boys. It's Soul on Ice, the podcast. My name is Kwame, and big shout out to Brother B holding it down for us on social media. Make sure you check us out. And joining me, Double Trouble is in the house. We got Akil Thomas and Elijah Roberts. What's going on, boys?
Much. What are you saying, Kwame Saurus?
Just here, man. You know, it's, what are we in, September? I don't even know. I'm blurred, man.
September, Akil, almost October.
I'm telling you. Akil, what's good?
Yeah, well, a couple of weeks ago, I was in Toronto. And then obviously, last episode, I, you know, was in California. Next episode, I'll be somewhere else. So, pretty cool news. I'm being loaned to Berlin in Germany. I think they're called the Ice Baron. It's a pretty cool setup. Going with Aiden Dudas, Tyler Madden, Jacob Ingham, and Alex Turcotte. So, like five of us going. I think we're living all together, and we're getting a car. I think a few cars for all of us, and be a pretty cool experience. They actually own that team, so we know we're in good hands. And I think the agreement is we're going to play there until you know, the season is kind of confirmed in North America, and we can come back for camp and stuff. And we're going to be paid, you know, a little bit, way more than I ever did in the O. So pretty pumped about that. And they're paying for car, apartment, and all that stuff. So I'm pretty excited. I've only, like, I've been to Europe a few times, but really only under, like, Hockey Canada. And it's kind of, you know, a prison when you go to, you know, tournaments with Hockey Canada. So, you know, I'm excited to get over there and be free in Europe. And, well, I mean, with the restrictions and stuff, not sure how free I'll be, but just to go experience, you know, my first taste of pro and get on the Olympic ice over there. I'm pretty excited.
You've been working on your German at all?
Not at all. I know maybe one or two words in German, so definitely not.
So when you say they own the team, we're talking about the LA Kings. They own this team out in Germany?
Yeah, so I guess the guy who owns the LA Kings owns Berlin, like Ice Baron Berlin as well. I think he owns a couple other teams, or not too sure, but he owns them both, and they have a good relationship. And, like, for example, their strength coaches are close with, you know, the LA Kings strength coaches, and they talk here and there. And we just know we're going to be in good hands over there. And, you know, I'm excited. And their coaches are actually all Canadian. Their head assistant and other assistant coaches. So I think that's, you know, a little bit more comforting as well. So,
you know what things are going to look like from, like, the hockey side when you get down there? Have they told you guys anything yet?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of crazy how it all worked out. Yesterday I was told that I had the option to go to Germany, and I had to come up with a decision in a couple hours. And obviously talked to a lot of people, talked to the development staff, talked to, you know, Rob Blake and everyone, my trainers here, and my dad, my parents, and everyone. And they just all thought it was a good idea. You know, why not? I mean, you know, you would be in a normal year, I would be playing right now anyway, so might as well get my first taste of pro and have a good experience with it as well. So, yeah, I made a decision last night, kind of told them today, got my contract, had to read over it, because there was a couple different things that aren't, you know, normal, just because I'm going to Europe, things are different. And then basically I think we start camp Tuesday. So quick turnaround, and we'll be playing exhibition games and all that. And yeah, I'm just excited to get going, get there. I'm maybe on a flight as early as like tomorrow morning. So I may not be, I don't know. It's all up in the air. So it's pretty cool. I'm excited.
Just for everybody listening right now, we are recording this on September the 18th, only because Akil could be leaving the next day. So we wanted to make sure that we had his voice on the next, on this show that you're listening to right now. But, you know, when you're, you know, deciding to go and play in a different country, what are some of the things you have to prepare yourself for, especially when it comes to being game ready, because it's a whole different system out there, no?
Yeah, I mean, well, the first thing that came to my head was like the Olympic ice. It's a bit different. So like you kind of have to be, you have to be in shape to play in the Olympic ice for sure. It's like, it's a lot harder. That's one thing. This might be a small thing, but it's just something I talked about with my agent. I have to figure out if I can get like a European phone plan, just because it could end up being expensive and stuff. Another thing I worked out with my agent was, you know, disability insurance and my like health coverage over there. Mm-hmm. Like who would pay for what? Would LA pay for it? Would they? Is it like guaranteed, all that stuff? Just because, you know, God forbid something happens, you want to nail all that stuff out before you go and kind of have it set up. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of hidden things like that that agents kind of agents nail out. And there's actually one I saw on the contract. It said the club will pay for my flight and a girlfriend's flight out there and back. So I thought that was kind of funny too. Elijah would use that for sure.
Oh, Elijah would have that locked in. But
well, like Akil, are you using it? We're not just going to skip past that.
Right now, I'm just going there by myself tomorrow.
So, oh, that is right such now, a lie. I could right see that now, on your face.
Right now, you're going by yourself. You walked into this,
He's
bro.
Capping, Kwame. You, he's capping.
You walked.
Yeah. Hey, all I know is I'm going by myself and tomorrow or whatever day. And that's all I know right now.
Speaking of people that you're going with, you mentioned that you're going with a few guys. I know you know Dudas. Do you know any of the other guys really, or is it kind of going to be first time meeting them?
Yeah, I know Jacob Ingham. We've just from being from development camps, main camps with him, Hockey Canada camps. I don't know Tyler Madden, but like we've done since quarantine started, we've done these like mental preparation like meetings with this psychologist, and so I've talked with Tyler Madden on that, and I've met Turcotte at a development camp and stayed in touch with him, played some video games with him this summer, so we're pretty tight. It'll be fun to see how like living with four other guys will go, and you know, all that. I think it'll be pretty fun. It'll be experience. So, you know, but like you said, Kwame, I think it'll be huge. You know, it's one thing I contemplated with my agent was like, you know, like, yeah, I'm in a really good spot here, working out with, you know, the best people I could work out with and skating with the best and, you know, skating with, you know, NHL guys and, you know, feeling comfortable and with them and even building, you know, a relationship with them and, you know, staff and all that. But like, there's only so much skating like with a development guy you can do. Like you get better at the game of hockey by playing it, and you know, obviously training is whatever, but you know, you can't be training for, you know, a whole season, right? Like the season starts in January. Like Elijah, you can probably agree, like from September to January feels like one season, and then anything other is like just like part two of the season, like last couple of games before playoffs, and then I'd say playoffs is just like, you know, the icing on the cake. So yeah, it would be a long time to just kind of idle and chill, but you know, I'm obviously, I was only here for a week, but you know, it's what I got to do. So yeah,
and it goes back to my philosophy, what's the difference between being good and being great,
right? And like one thing I was thinking, and I think Laj can relate to this as well, or any other hockey player really, like Laj, when you like you play in the 99 Marlies, you obviously got called up to the 98 Marlies, right?
Yeah.
Like you would play up, and like what would you feel when you came back down?
I felt like you'd feel like the game is easier. I mean, just because when you got called up, you were kind of forced to play to that level, not even just to that level, but even push yourself to be like higher than that level, and you just find yourself being such a better player. And I got the opportunity to play with that 98 Marlies team a lot of games. They called me up for pretty much the whole OHL Cup and in the playoffs. So when I went back down, the game kind of just slowed everything down, and I just felt a lot more comfortable. So I think for Akil getting that experience in Germany, when he goes into development camp or whatever they decide to do with the NHL, all those other prospects who haven't really been playing, he's probably going to have a big step on them right away.
Well, one thing I was thinking of too is just like playing on the Olympic rink for like a while. Like when I've played on the Olympic rink, it's been for like a tournament, right?
Yeah.
Like playing there for a while and like practicing on it all the time. I just feel like I'd come back, I'd feel, you know, fast. I'd feel good. It's just like a feeling that you could only really understand if you played and you've been through it. So that's just why I wanted to ask you like kind of how it felt to come back down. So yeah, should be a cool experience.
Is there going to be somewhere where we can like follow you and maybe watch games or kind of see some highlights? Do you know yet?
I have no idea, to be honest. I don't know anything really.
Yeah, what league is? Do you know the league? Is there a league?
Yeah, it's called the DEL. Okay. Like the first league there. And I just did a little bit of research on their team, and they've won the championship more than any other team. So pretty good right organization. Yeah, we'll see. But it's kind of a young team. Looked at the roster, couple 02s, couple 01s, and all that. So yeah, we'll see.
Well, you just got to go work hard and, you know, be safe. But, you know, this ain't nothing new for you, man. This is what you do, and this is what you do for a living. So we wish you all the best going out there. Will we get a chance to have you on the podcast to get some updates, or do you want us to stay locked in while you're out there?
No, if it works, it'll work. Obviously, I'm at the rink for, you know, the few hours a day that I will be, and, you know, the rest I'll be at home chilling. So we'll make it work. We'll find a way. I think they're 6 hours ahead, so we'll try to figure out something.
Wicked. That's going to be great, because it would be great to just update everybody on your progress out there. And so, listen, my little guy is bugging out right now, so I'm going to go attend to him for a minute. But when we come back from the Montreal Canadiens, this kid is tearing it up in the league right now, and this is going to be a really cool interview, and I think you guys are going to love this. We got Nick Suzuki rocking with the best, so keep it locked right here on Soul on Ice, the podcast. All right, our next guest was born in the 1999, drafted 13th overall by the Vegas Golden Knights back in 2017. After being traded to the Montreal Canadiens, he played his first year in the show, stacking up an impressive 41 points in 71 regular games. He's represented Canada in World Juniors competition. When he played in the OHL, he was awarded the most sportsmanlike player of the year. So you're probably, you know, not going to have to worry about him slashing you after the whistle. His younger brother is Ryan. He's related to one of the most famous environmentalists in Canada. Let me introduce you to Nick, a.k.a. Nicky Baby Suzuki. What's going on, Nick?
Not much. I like that nickname.
How many people? People don't call you Nicky Baby?
I think you're the first one.
Oh, man, I tell you, if I was your teammate, I'm telling you, if I was your teammate and we were going up on the rush, I'd be like, Nicky Baby!
might stick now. Who knows?
There you go. It might stick. So, yeah, listen, if people haven't guessed already, the family relation I was speaking about is the great David Suzuki. Did you ever spend much time with him growing up, or do you guys speak often?
No, I've... my only encounters with him was a family reunion one time, but that was a long time ago, and I hardly remember it. So hopefully we can meet up down the line. That'd be cool to get to talk to him more as an adult.
I heard he doesn't really like to take pictures.
I don't know.
I haven't heard that.
I'm sure I could hopefully get a picture with him.
So the NHL, they have a green program, and I bet he would be so proud if you got involved somehow with that. Any thoughts of, you know, doing something in that direction with the league?
Yeah, I'd love to join in on some of the things that the NHL has started. I'm sure I could definitely get into that and make them proud.
You know, you grew up in London, Ontario, if I'm correct, right? So what was hockey like growing up there? And I assume you and your brother Ryan, you guys followed the Knights as kids?
Yeah. Yeah. I was a huge London Knights fan my whole life until I got drafted. And then when I was drafted, Owen Sound. It turned into a big rivalry, so that was kind of cool to have that. And I got to play in my hometown 3 times a year in the Midwest Division, so it was always a good time getting back to London and playing at the Bud there.
Speaking of your brother, I got a younger brother. Kill's got a younger brother. Growing up, what was that competition like between you and your brother?
Yeah, the competition was kind of never ending, still is. When we play golf or skate together, workout, basically everything's a competition. And it's been really nice to have him throughout the whole journey. And I'm sure he would say the same. And just pushing each other every day is fun. And as the older one, I like to that the journeys that he's on, he had a bit of injury trouble, but he made through that. And he's looking really, really good right now through training, and hopefully he can make the jump to the NHL one day.
That was that past year where he had his injury, right?
Yeah, he got a stick in the eye in Saginaw, and he was out for a while, but playing with the fishbowl now, and he seems to be all good.
Going to the draft, your experience, when you're drafted pretty high, your brother, you went before your brother, right?
In the NHL?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. A little bit of brain, right?
He got me in the OHL. He went first OV, so it's a tough one to beat, but yeah, I got him in the NHL. Going to Vancouver with him was awesome. It was nice to be on the other side. I didn't have to worry about where I was getting picked. Right. But to just go through that with him and being in Vancouver, that's definitely one of my favorite cities. So it was cool to have that together. And luckily he went in the first round, and I think he's going to do great in Carolina.
Taking all the stress that you went through in your draft year, how did you or what did you learn from that whole draft experience, and how did you kind of apply it to your brother?
Yeah, he asked me a few questions, more so to do with how you talk to the scouts and what the combine's like. But yeah, at the end of the day, I just told him that you can control how you play, and that's about it. And he did a good job. He had a good draft season. Maybe not as good as he hoped, but it's just a matter of if you get picked to a team and just given the opportunity that he had. So that's all you can hope for. And he did a great job throughout that whole experience. And it was a bit nerve wracking being late in the first round that first day for him. But I think he ended up in a real good spot.
And then for you being drafted by Vegas and not really getting the chance to play, you're traded to Montreal. You're also traded from Owen Sound to Guelph in the OHL. What was it like being traded, and what were the differences of being traded kind of at both levels?
Yeah, the OHL level was more so really expected. Kind of Owen Sound was going through a transition there, and we were trading a bunch of our good players just before me, and Darzian Roberts got traded to Guelph. Like Marcus got traded right to Guelph right before us, and Hancock to London. So we were kind of thinking we were going to get traded, just didn't know where. And then all of a sudden, all three of us were going to Guelph, which was a real fun thing to be a part of. And winning the championship with all those guys that I'd played with before was really cool. And the NHL was really, really unexpected. I was in the middle of rookie camp, and we had just finished a game. And then I got called in the GM's office, so I kind of had a feeling I was either playing really bad or I was getting traded. So, it's totally different things. And the NHL was definitely unexpected.
What's that walk like? Is that like getting called to the principal's office?
Yeah, it was crazy. A lot was running through my head. I just started picturing what teams I'm going to, what was going to happen if he was upset with my play. I didn't really thought I played that bad that night, but he just told me that it was a trade for the big club, and obviously getting Pacioretty the other way. He's been doing great for them, and I think both teams are happy with what happened through the trade.
How quick was that turnaround? Because you said it was at rookie camp.
Yeah.
So do you kind of just fly right down to Vegas after, or sorry, to Montreal?
Yeah, I think I was in Vegas for a couple days longer, so I was hanging out with the guys that were doing the rookie camp. I just wasn't being a part of it, and I couldn't go to the rink, so that was pretty weird. I think it just had to do with like Tatar and Pacioretty. They had to handle some stuff before I went to Montreal, but yeah, when I went to Montreal, I was thrown right into the main camp, so I got to do the fitness testing with all the NHL players, and yeah, so I was kind of thrown right into the fire there, which was pretty cool.
And then, like the OHL, your first year, you stepped in immediately, put up big numbers, became a guy that played in every role. What would you say made that transition so smooth?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was the smoothest. Had a fight a lot for the ice time at the beginning of the season. I wasn't really expected to make the team in training camp, and I had to show the coaches that I was ready. And yeah, I had a good training camp and preseason games. And then when I made the team, I was playing on mostly the fourth line for a little bit, and just kind of had to fight my way up there, which was something I wanted to do. I just needed a chance to be in the NHL lineup to show that what I could do. So, yeah, I wasn't expected to make the team by many. So it was nice to prove that wrong, I guess.
Yeah, you did pretty good.
Yeah.
You did pretty good this year. No, you killed it, man. But I just want to switch topics a little bit, you know, because I think that as athletes, especially in today's climate, you should be thinking about, or you should be doing something to give back to the community, to causes that you might be into, no matter how big or how small. Have you thought about some things you might want to get involved in the future?
Yeah, I've done a little bit of stuff. Through the OHL, it's pretty easy to get into the community. The teams do a great job of letting players get into the community, go to schools, and do hospital visits. And this year, our team went to the Montreal Hospital, and I got to see a bunch of kids and different families. So that was a really cool experience. And through the coronavirus, me and Gallagher teamed up to send meals to the hospital. So that was a really cool thing to be a part of. I kind of heard he was doing it, and I wanted to help as any way as I could. So that was cool to be a part of. And yeah, made some meals happen for them.
There's a lot that's kind of gone on in the world this year, and being a minority yourself, what's your take on systematic racism in hockey, and have you ever personally had to deal with racism, whether it's directed at you or towards a teammate?
Yeah, growing up, there's a little bit, just because of my name. I never saw myself as like a Asian hockey player. I was just felt like I was a Canadian hockey player, so there's a little bit through minor hockey, but I never really took it too seriously. But yeah, it's not something you like hearing, obviously, and can kind of get in your head. But I just took it as something I needed to show that I was a good player. And yeah, but I've never had teammates that I've heard have any racism towards. So it's been I've never had anything personally like that. Yeah, it's something that needs to end. And I've heard a lot of stories of players that are getting or being racist towards players, and that just can't happen in hockey. I think we're all tight together in a room. If anyone can see that happen, they need to stop that.
Hey, you're a young guy, man. So, like, you know, and again, I'm assuming growing up, maybe somebody might have said one or two things while you were playing, but you didn't really see it that way. You're a lot older now, still young, but, you know, you were in the bubble during all this that was happening. What was going through your mind when people were talking about, hey, we are going to cancel games, or when things were happening, you know, like just being in that mix? And, you know, did you think about where you stand and what more you need to think about? Did you talk to anybody, any of your teammates? Did you guys have any discussions over dinner? What was the vibe like?
Yeah, we definitely had some discussions. I took part in that Bar Down Change Hockey Culture initiative there, and it was a great startup by them. And we definitely need to keep that going. But yeah, just it was a crazy time when the games were getting canceled, and like the NBA, MLB, NFL, all the leagues were really stepping up to make a change. And that was really great to see. I wasn't in the bubble for that part, but there's definitely discussions before. And I think a lot of guys are seeing what's happening and really want to make a change personally and as a league. And I think we can do better. And I think just this is a good step in the right direction for sure.
I just want to add one other thing. You know, for you personally, you know, there are young kids of Japanese heritage that are looking at you and saying, you know, that's a role model to me. Have you thought about that and what that means? And have you given a second thought to saying, hey, you know what? I might need to do a little bit more within the community because some of these kids don't have the role models like, say, some of my teammates have.
Yeah, for sure. I actually got the opportunity to talk to the Japanese Pee Wee team when they're in Quebec for the Pee Wee hockey team tournament. So that was really cool. These kids couldn't really speak English, but I could tell how excited they were to meet me. And just to see that Suzuki last name on the back of an NHL jersey is huge for them. It's one of the most popular names in all of Japan. So just to see that name and like where my family comes from for them is it was crazy meeting them, and they were so excited. And hopefully some of those kids can make the NHL and if that's what they want to do. And I would love to get over to Japan and Asia and maybe do some hockey camps, or maybe if Montreal can be a part of playing some of those games in Asia like they did for some of those preseason games. So that'd be unreal. And just to see my name out there for those kids would be pretty special for them, I'm sure.
I think you could move mountains. You and your brother, I mean, just imagine you and your brother going out to Japan, just the two of you, and just representing the Shield and just going out there and doing camps for kids and just getting on television, talking about the game and stuff like that. You know, it's very important as minorities, I believe.
Yeah, they're loving hockey over there. So many more kids are joining, and even China and Korea. I played with a few Koreans growing up, and they're all talented, and they want to get better in all those countries. The kids are really driving the hockey, so to get over there would be a lot of fun, and especially if me and my brother and maybe a couple other guys with Japanese and Asian heritage could get over there, that would be awesome.
And you know, if you get those games down there, you got to go on, put on a show.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe we can get a Carolina Habs game over in Japan one day for the NHL.
Oh, that would be nuts. That'd be nuts.
Back to the bubble here. What was that experience like for you? And you were there a lot longer than a lot of the other teams. Did that start to kind of weigh on you being stuck in the bubble for that long?
For me personally, not. I think as a team, we did a great job of like hanging out together. We weren't just stuck in our rooms the whole time. We had a players' lounge. Guys were watching games together, having dinner together. So that was I think we had a lot of fun. We also had we set up like a Call of Duty tournament on one of our off days. So I won one of them. We had a trios competition, and we had a little bit of a draft there. So
who's the worst?
The worst. We had a couple of bad players.
Call them out, man.
I'll call it. Yeah, Gallagher was on my team. He's not very good, but me and Jake Evans carried him. So
nice.
He was lucky. He was lucky. He was on our team.
So is that kind of like one of the things you guys would do during the day offs in the bubble? Like run the people through like what a day off in the bubble was like for you guys.
A day off. We got to sleep in, which was nice. Go down for breakfast. And then usually me, Fleury, Duran Paling and like a couple other guys would go to the golf simulator, hit some irons and maybe play a couple holes. And that was one of the best parts about the bubble. The golf simulator, we had a lot of fun on that, and we seemed to be there every off day. And other than that, Call of Duty, any other video game, and maybe some treatment. And I think my favorite part was we had a Tim Hortons van out front, so I got free Timmies every day.
Was your brother in there at the start of Carolina?
No, he only went down for the Carolina training camp and then had to come home. They didn't bring him to the bubble, which was kind of weird because I thought I was going to see him at the hotel, which would have been cool, but he didn't get to come.
I'm picturing inside the bubble, you guys are doing the golf simulator, and like you got a couple of the Montreal Canadian guys there doing their thing, and then the Boston Bruins, they come in and like, all right, guys, get out of here. And then it becomes this huge fight between the two teams.
No, none of that. We actually had we were playing with Carolina guys because Fleury on my team, his brother's on Carolina too, Hayden Fleury. So we would hang out with them in the golf simulator. But some teams had their own, but we were using the public one, so we would see some teams there.
There's a theater in there, no?
I thought there was a movie
theater. Okay, maybe they didn't let Montreal watch the movies anyways. So you're marked down as 5'11", about 200 pounds. But on TV, to be honest, man, you look really small. so I just wanted to ask you, how important is speed to your game? And sometimes you have to go into corners against some guys like Chara and Jonesy. How nervous are you when you go into these corners with these big guys?
To be honest, I'm not nervous. I get to practice against Weber and Sherrod every day. So
true.
I get to go against some pretty big guys. But I'm confident in my strength. Probably 150 of those pounds are in my lower body. So I can, I think I'm pretty sturdy. So I haven't had too many worries sometimes going into those corners, but you definitely have to be aware of who you're going in with.
Yeah, you're a slippery dude. How big is speed to your game?
Yeah, it's definitely big. I've haven't been the fastest guy my whole life, but I've been working on it a lot lately.
You're pretty fast, dude.
Yeah. I don't know. My skating was a big question mark coming into the draft for the OHL and NHL, but been working on that a lot, and I think it's improved a ton. So I just want to keep that going. But it's a big part. I think I have some sneaky speed coming out of turns and deeks and stuff like that. So try to keep the defenseman on their toes. Not as fast as Lige, though.
Yeah,
not as fast as Leo.
Yeah, you can work on that, but I don't think you're gonna catch me. But
a lot of
these teams must not have watched your games against us in your draft year and your first year. Cause like, I think if you watch his whole draft mixtape, it's just goals against us in Kitchener. And like there's a lot of speed there. I remember one, he like put it through his legs and then like went through another guy, and like the whole building was kind of just silent after, but he definitely had the speed from the beginning.
Yeah. Thanks.
But you played for Canada at every level. Me and you played together at the Alinka. Out of all the tournaments, what would you say was the most fun? And can you see yourself being part of the Olympic team and the World Cup team down the road?
They're all different experiences. Doing the Alinka in Europe was a ton of fun. That was the only time I've gotten to go over there. So doing that and seeing Europe in small bits, I guess, that was really cool. But World Juniors in Canada was unbelievable, and the crowds that we were getting was just a ton of fun to play in. But yeah, to your second question, I'd hope I can make a team one day there at the Olympics or World Championships. It's definitely a dream of mine, and it sounds like the players are going to be allowed to go back to the Olympics, so One day to be playing in the Olympics. I talked to Weber and Price about it, and they said it's not, there's nothing like it. And just being in the village, all the athletes, top athletes in the world. Yeah, there's nothing really beats that. And, that's a dream of mine for sure.
Price looks like he talks about himself in the third person. Is that true, or is that just me?
Talks about himself in the third person. Uh-huh. I don't think so. Is that what his interviews sound like?
No, I don't know. I just look at him. I'm like, he just seems like a guy who'd be like, the price saves the goals.
No, I don't think I've ever heard him say that.
How is he? Is he a good dude?
Yeah, he was great to me. He's a kind of a quiet guy like me, but just getting the opportunity to play with him, someone I've always loved watching. He's a top goalie in the league. I might be biased, but he's been the top goalie in the league for a long time, and I think you saw that in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. We couldn't have won many games without him. So he's a special player and great guy, can't say enough good things about him.
Who's the coolest guy to hang out with on the Habs, and who's the guy on the Habs where you got to be like, I got to watch out because this guy is probably going to get us in trouble?
We have a lot of cool guys that I like to hang out with. Domi's awesome. Kovalchuk was really cool to be around. He's a legend. Just getting to know him was awesome. And we created a good bond together. And
Who's the one that will get you? I thought it would be Domi. I think Domi looks like a troublemaker. He looks like the guy during the bubble. He would have pulled the fire alarm or something. Because of
his dad.
Yeah. No, Domi's good. He knows when to be smart. I think his dad really turned into that. His dad doesn't want him doing any dumb things. But I don't know. Kotkaniemi is pretty funny. Him and Mete, they love stirring some stuff up. And Gallagher, too. All those guys are really fun to be around, and you're going to have a good time with them.
This next question, I want you to answer as honest as possible. I don't want you to be humble. But at the point where your brother is now, if you went back to both your third years, who was the better player? And who do you think is going to be the better player down the road?
That's a tough question.
And your brother will probably hear this, hopefully. So.
Yeah, I hope so. To be honest, he always was ahead of me in like development-wise. My dad always used to say it, and it would kind of rattle me. So that might have driven me further, but... I think I could take him in our third year. He's put on a few pounds this quarantine and summer, so we'll see how his fourth year goes. But I think I could take him definitely in the third year. But I think he has definitely a bright future ahead of him. Like I said, he's been training really hard. He's been taking it more seriously than I've seen him, and that's really good to see. And hopefully, he can keep that going. But the second question, we'll see how it turns out. But I hope it's me. But I hope we both have long and great careers.
I think you guys both will. I think you do. As long as you guys put your head down and just do what you got to do, you guys will be fine. Because I mean, you were a star during just the playoffs, man. Like you know, I think a lot of people might have been second guessing you, but I know watching the series, the guys on Hockey Night in Canada, everybody was talking about you. So you must be doing something right. So you just got to keep that up going towards next year and the years after that. We'll make it be like a one-time thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So outside of hockey, what are some of your interests?
I like golf a lot. I just joined one of the local clubs here in London that my dad's at. And I was kind of unlucky that we were away for most of the summer, but got to golf a few times there. I don't have too many hobbies. I'm more of a stay-at-home kind of guy. I just watch TV or been watching in the playoffs a lot. Mm-hmm. I've been watching all the sports, and just as of late, I guess fantasy football has been taking over. So it's been fun to watch those guys play.
What are your thoughts on the NBA playoffs?
Yeah, I think they've been doing a great job. The bubble seems to be working really well for the NHL and the NBA. But I'm hoping Jamal Murray can pull something off, but we'll see. It's a tough competition.
It's tough. It's a little tough over there against LA. But listen, man, you know, we really appreciate your time hanging out with us. And we do this thing called the Top Five, where we try to find out what kind of music our guests are into. So give me the top five songs you would listen to going into a big game.
A big game?
Mm-hmm. We've had some crappy top fives, bro.
We've had some crappy top fives. You played with Joseph, right? Pierre Oliver Joseph?
Yeah.
His was the worst we've had.
He's top bad top five, really?
Yeah, very bad.
So listen, if you get a chance, you just text them and say, hey, I heard you were on the Soul and Ice podcast and your top five was trash. The guys are just making fun of you. So you got to do one better than them, than him.
Okay. I'll list some top five right now.
All right.
I think right now I really like the pop star with Drake and DJ Khaled.
Okay.
And then what's that one? There's a one Meek Mill song that I really like. I played it in junior and we used to go out to Onto the Ice on that song.
Dreams and Nightmares, maybe?
Yeah, that one. Yeah. But what else? We played a lot of like big booty mixes in the room. So like any one of those would be good for me. And
I've never heard of those.
I have not heard of the Big Booty remixes. I haven't heard.
You've never heard of the Big Booty?
No.
Every team plays them now. It's a new thing.
Really?
Do you like them, Lige?
They're all right. I mean, if I'm on music, I'd play something else, but I don't mind them.
We actually had Christian Follin on our team is a DJ part time, so he made a mix. So we were listening to two of those all playoffs. So. I didn't have much control of the music this year, so
I could just see Weber in the corner just going.
Those guys, the older guys, are into rock and roll. We would like we're AC/DC, like Nickelback. Right. I got to meet the lead singer of Nickelback this year.
Okay,
which was pretty cool. Chad. Chad. He was a cool dude. Weber knows him personally, so he was at our rookie party in Vancouver.
He was like, he's like, these young guys, though, they want to listen to his Big Booty remixes, man. They need to listen to some Nickelback.
So we listened to Nickelback on our Western road trip the whole time.
That's so funny. You know, back in the days, okay, the rock and roll and country dominated the hockey locker rooms. How crazy has it been, I think, that the locker room has changed so much. So that was three. Give me two more songs.
This is a tough question. I like a lot of – I'm a big country guy, but not right before a big game.
Good. Okay. If you have a bad game and I'm watching, I'll be like, you probably listen to some country.
Do you know Roses? Like the new one?
By
St. John?
Nope.
I think I might have heard it.
One's good.
Give me one more.
I really like that one. What's Poppin' with Lil Wayne and...
The remix?
Yeah, the remix one. Yeah,
nice.
There.
Not bad.
There's two.
That's a good. That's that a one, good.
I don't know what's...
That's a good. That's
that
a
song's
good top five.
Really good. Yeah, that might be my number one. I take mine back. That's my number one.
That's a good top five. Tatar, do you guys ever tease him, call him Tatar? I would be messing with him all the time. What do you guys call him?
Tuna? Yeah.
Did you ever see that video where that guy, he was just totally drunk and he was like,
Tomas! Tatar!
Yeah. Yeah, that went pretty viral.
Yeah.
Pretty funny.
I definitely would have, if I was the guy working the Jumbotron, I'd be playing that all the time. Every time he scored a goal, I would play that for sure.
Yeah, we should all have personal ones.
Yeah, exactly. Well. Exactly. Hey, Nick, man, appreciate your time, brother, man. And all the best to you and your brother. We got to get your brother on this show. So whenever you get a chance, hit him up, tell him how much fun you had. And we want to get him on the show because we got to get him to talk some trash about you as well.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll pump his own tires against me. So that'd be fun to hear.
Before we let Nick go, I kind of just remember a time when we played each other and you're talking about how he's so he's a sportsmanlike player. And I remember he slashed me in the face, gave me stitches and
no.
And get stitches.
Yeah, so. I remember that. That was I think that's one of the only 4-minute penalties I've ever gotten. So
was it accidental or accidentally on purpose? Yeah. Accidental.
No, I would never try to high stick someone on purpose.
You're not that type of player.
Yeah.
Good for you, man.
Yeah.
Hey,
ran
like I said,
minutes a little bit.
All right. Took it up a little bit. Thanks, man. Really appreciate your time. Elijah, you got the last word.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. I mean, we were watching this year. You just dominated the league and going for it. I think in Montreal, you guys got a real good team, and you're probably going to be one of the guys leading the way. So thanks for coming on again, and we'll talk soon, of course, obviously. Maybe see you at Boots and Hearts next year with the other 20 guests that we keep telling we're going to bring. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. It was a lot of fun. And hopefully, Boots and Hearts sounds good. Hopefully it comes back.
All right. Lord.
That was Nick Suzuki from the Montreal Canadiens hanging out with us. Really good times. Elijah, you got a little history with him. Is he that much of a sportsman-like guy? He just seems like a really cool, humble, chill guy on and off the ice.
Yeah, I mean, other than the fact that he gave me a few stitches, he was always one of the nicest guys, and I got the chance to play with him at for Team Canada, and he was one of those guys who was just a good locker room guy. I think everybody on the team loved him, and right from the time he stepped into the OHL, it was like, wow, this kid is like the real deal. And then the second year, he put up 100 points. And then I would say in his third year, he was the best player in the league, in my opinion. And he's a real star in the making for sure. And more importantly, he's a real good guy. So, it was pretty cool playing with him. And, he's a real good guy.
All right. Well, listen, folks. Akil Thomas, he should be in Germany by now, getting himself settled in. Hopefully, he will be back with us on the show. But make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. And also, I hope you guys got a chance to listen to my 1v1 interview with Hunter Ryan Singh. His book, One Game at a Time, is out right now in stores. We'll be doing more of those every once in a while, so keep checking that out. Elijah, have yourself a great rest of your week. Brother B, we'll talk to you soon. And peoples, we'll see you guys next week.
And when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. 'Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the proof is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need ya, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Yeah. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice. You goddamn right, I'm screaming on that beat. I got a match screaming on the streets. We in the club, stadium, and the arena, cousin. Put me on ice and I'm hitting that top. Are dusting, fussing, fighting with myself is enticing. My enemies in the mirror, and he's always reciting the poetry of my power, statistic of my weakness. Shadow boxing with Tyson, I'm trying to show y'all I'm beating them to the punch. Competition on the table, it's time for lunch. Though my mission is unstable, I'm scoring once, twice, three times, and I'm taking hats. Men lie, women lie, progress is based upon the facts. So let that baby shine. They sold the show and older, they live within the grind. Now take them out that stroller, 'cause coming up is a champ. Prediction of Ali, he changed his name to Muhammad. We changing free to a fee, it's up to me. And when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. 'Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the proof is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need ya, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. So on ice, I'ma
one to Jaden Linda. Let's escalate to Caddy, crush the Pinto. Or maybe you prefer that Benz. Why that big truck? I don't give a fuck. Only really want a house with a kid. Let's take it far down on the competition. Competition is nonsense. It's me and my soul's decision. Yeah, I only work against myself. I play against you to bench you. I'm throwing all shots to the shelf. Yeah, the top is the topic. You checking your armor. My wheel telescopic, so I'm steering my karma. The future is mine, like receiving the pass from Jesus or Jordan or Crosby, Stills and Nash. We young, and when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the proof is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. When our numbers come through the TV, soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice, nice. Nice.